Hello, and welcome to HCC 360. I'm Via Skinner, Coordinator for Campus Communications. Once a month, HCC 360 will take a deep dive into one of the many interesting things happening here at Hartford Community College.
I think it's going to be a model for the state of Maryland how we can think outside of the box and creating opportunities. You know, typically when you think of educational opportunities, you think of brick and mortar, large institutions instead of pop-up locations to meet people where they are. So I think that this is going to be a model opportunity to create on-demand training and that it doesn't take a lot of heavy lifting in order to be successful.
That was Dr. Austin Hill, Director of Strategic Partnerships at HCC. Dr. Hill is a driving force behind the Leading Edge Training Center, powered by the Radcliffe Foundation. The center is based in Edgewood and offers on-demand, hands-on workforce training in logistics, customer service, welding, and a lot more. WHFC student producer Mohammed Bangora sat down to talk with Dr. Hill, so let's dive in.
Good morning, Harvard Community College. My name is Mohammed, and today with me I have Dr. Austin Hill, Director of Strategic Partnerships. Dr. Hill, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Doing great. So, Dr. Hill, can you tell us about yourself?
Yes. So, born and raised in Wilmington, Delaware, I attended the University of Maryland Eastern Shore for my Bachelor's of Science degree in Business Education. I then attended UMES once again for my Master's in Career and Technology Education, and then received my Doctorate of Educational Leadership and Management from Capella University. I started working full-time for the college in 2020. Prior to that, I was a career navigator working in the CBAT division over under Dean Cormer and an adjunct faculty as well. I have over 10 years of education experience in the K-12 and higher ed system, and I'm just delighted to be able to be here, you know, on campus and impacting and creating change, meaningful change, especially in the non-credit side of the house.
That's awesome. So can you tell us about your position as the Director of Strategic Partnerships?
Yes, it's a fancy way of saying that I connect people. So my job is to really get in the community and first learn what the community needs are in regards to programming. So I survey, go to different community functions and things of that nature to really get a pulse on what is missing from the community and how as a community college we can stand things up. I also work with the business community to respond to their needs. I mean, it was a local business who was trying to get certification through the county government and required a very important class. And I was happy to be able to respond and be able to provide that class for them with some on-demand training. So, you know, being able to really get a pulse and find out, you know, what the business community needs is extremely important because things change. You know, on the four-credit side of the house, you have a fall and you have a spring and, you know, winter and some summer semesters. But the problem with that is, let's say you onboard an employee in October and they need a very specific class. Well, if the semester already started, they're going to have to wait until either winter or spring term to be able to take that class. But on the non-credit side of the house, we can kind of do on-demand training. So if you onboard somebody in October, we can pretty much stand something out within a few weeks' time to be able to respond to that demand and get that employee what it is they need. And then I focus on business needs from a recruitment standpoint. Because, you know, as a community college, we're here to respond to the demand in employment and employability skills. So sometimes we have employees that need to upskill as far as their training, so we can respond with upskill training. Or sometimes we have to go in and work with some management classes and help to prepare individuals to, you know, broaden what it is that they're doing and requirements for an organization. So my job is just to connect with people, find out what the needs are, and then be able to respond.
And out of all those responsibilities, what would you say is your favorite part of the job?
I'm connecting with people. I think for many people, you know, education is scary and not knowing what direction they really want to go in. And then being able to find out what their needs are, be able to respond, be able to try to create something that fits them and their lifestyle is probably the most rewarding thing. You know, seeing that light bulb go off in a lot of people's minds and in their lives is extremely rewarding. I mean, the work that we're doing at the Leading Edge Training Center, powered by Radcliffe, and here on campus, has the ability to create individuals who previously were working two or three jobs just to make ends meet, to be able to walk away with a certification and have a head of household income that can not only sustain their current family, but generations to come.
And you mentioned the Leading Edge Training Center. Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Yes. So the Leading Edge Training Center, powered by Radcliffe, was birthed in 2020 as an initiative by the community college and the Philip and Carol Radcliffe Foundation as a way to create opportunity for disenfranchised and low-income area students. So it's a center that's located 2002 Cedar Lane in Edgewood, Maryland, that allows for individuals who are interested in training, whether it be in heavy equipment simulator, CDL simulation, pre-construction. We're going to have some customer service, some teller training, specified career advancement opportunities to be able to learn and be able to do so. In addition to that, the Small Business Development Center will be stood up there to offer opportunities for individuals who are interested in entrepreneurship to be able to stand up their business and be able to get some coaching as far as marketing, business advisement, business plan development, and all of those supports needed in order for somebody to become an entrepreneur. You know, it's scary to run a business. A large portion of individuals who own their own business are usually birthed from individuals in their family who own their own business. But what about those individuals who have a concept, an idea, a thought in their head, but don't know what way to go? You know, so we want to be there as a community college to be able to stand that up for them and to provide the guidance and oversight to make sure that they're successful. You know, for many individuals, over 60% of businesses that are started and created fail within the first 5 years. So we want to do our part in trying to ensure to lower that number so that more businesses within our community, specifically low-income areas, have the possibility to be able to survive in any given market. And then we had the Rural Maryland Council, who provided an incubator makerspace space that allows for individuals who have a concept or idea to be able to do some 3D printing in order to get a model so they can go to local banks and different funding organizations to seek funding. So if you have a concept or idea that's in your mind, you know, let's say Muhammad has been in the studio and says, hey, I want to work on headphones that have, you know, the ergonomics that allow for earrings to be able to better comfort. You know, for somebody like myself, I wear earrings, and one of the pains is, you know, the pressure that the bottom part puts on, you know, the back of your ear. So you says, you know what, that's something that I really want to work on. So Muhammad goes down to the Leading Edge Training Center, powered by Radcliffe, works on the foam, works on the sizing of it, gets a model, and then goes to a local bank and says, hey, this is something I want to try to start. Here's the problem. Here's my business plan. Here's a solution. And you'll be able to get the counseling needed in order to create that prototype. I mean, it's little things like that that are extremely exciting, and the possibilities are endless for what it's going to be able to do for the community.
So basically just providing an opportunity for a lot of people to put their ideas into fruition who might not be able to do that themselves.
No, absolutely. I mean, education is different. You know, one of the things I always say, and a lot of people say that college isn't for everybody, and I think that's a false narrative that is perpetuated in our community. The community college has something for everybody. Many people in their minds, they only think of the four-credit side of the house and never the non-credit side of the house. One of the more fortunate classes that I had the opportunity to teach was an iPad course for senior citizens. You know, there are a number of senior citizens who each Christmas receive an iPad and have no idea what to do for it. And the moment that they go to Edgewood Hall to register for that class, they too become a community college student. So if there's something for somebody who gets a Christmas gift and needs to learn how to work it and function, be able to do it, something there for them, there's something for everybody here. So, you know, how do we create opportunities that meet people where they are in order to continue to push where they need to go in life? And how as a community college can we support them?
And will the Leading Edge Training Center, is that like a direct pathway to employment or?
It's a direct pathway to employment and a direct pathway to continue on if somebody's interested in obtaining their associate's degree. So for many people, education is scary. I mean, you have to think about it. For individuals who feel as though they haven't been loved or supported or had the family structure when they were growing up in their households to be able to advance in K-12, to think about going through additional years of schooling is extremely scary. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to create an opportunity not only to provide support and introduce people to what education will look like, second, provide work opportunities for them to be able to find gainful employment, and third, for those individuals who find employment, many institutions are offering tuition reimbursement for them to continue on and get their degrees. So let's say you're a student who's going through our logistics and warehouse management course, right? So that is a six-step course, but in that, you know, those six steps, you obtain employment through Amazon. Many may not be aware of this, but after 6 months, Amazon will pay fully for any education that you look to obtain. So if you want to go on and say you want to attend Harvard Community College in addition to being able to work, Amazon will pay for your AA degree. So you're going to be able to walk away with an associate's degree if you continue working for Amazon with no debt. I mean, how beautiful is that? All from just starting and taking a course that's already paid for via scholarship by the Philip and Carol E. Radcliffe Foundation. I mean, that's a beautiful opportunity that we're able to create to meet people where they are. For some people who are finding it very difficult to find their path and find their way, you know, I'm happy to say that the community college here at Harford County is here to meet you where you are and take you to where you need to go.
So from your experience, have you seen an increased interest in the workforce training in Harvard County?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, absolutely. Tremendously. I mean, if you even look at the data, I mean, without even looking at the data, if you go to any local business or restaurant and look at your wait times and how long it's taken for you to be served, you will too see the difficulty in what we're experiencing within the community.
Absolutely.
And how we can look to try to meet that and meet those needs for individuals. So there is definitely a gap there. And I'm happy that we're able to provide those supports needed to try to right the way for not only the individuals looking for work, but the businesses here within the community as well.
So from your conversation with the business leaders, what kind of skills and qualities have employers been seeking in new hires?
Yeah, I mean, so I have great friends down there at Thompson Automotive. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention them. You know, Ron Filling and Fred Anderson. You know, one of the biggest things is customer service. You know, they're a very front-facing organization. And with that being said, you know, they have the ability to teach skills, but that customer service piece is so important. So the Leading Edge Training Center, powered by the Radcliffe Foundation, we're going to be providing us a customer service certification. So once individuals are able to take that customer service and that first piece, Thompson Automotive will then look to do things like inventory management. So, you know, they're getting parts and things of that nature on a regular basis. Front service desk technicians, you know, individuals who are taking, if you have to get a car repaired, an oil change, or whatever it may be, you know, you're the front face of that organization. So if you have those basic skills, they'll be able to teach you the technical skills. So that's the gap in training that we're being able to provide and the feedback that we're getting from these organizations.
And are there any prerequisites for taking the courses?
Or? Absolutely no prerequisites. You just have to have an ambition to want to change where you are and then have a desire to, you know, be able to work and be supported by us. And the beauty of it all is for some of the certifications, they actually come with a stipend as well upon completion. So it's an added incentive for individuals looking to further their educational goals.
And other than having no prerequisites, how are you making it easier for people to take the courses?
We're making it easier by providing that hands-on application process as well. So between myself, my wonderful admin, Rose Siraki, we are, you know, going to community, taking phone calls and helping people fill out their applications. For some people, there may be a gap in not having a printer. So, you know, right now our application is a print process. If you can't do it, we will meet you where you are to be able to register you for these classes. So we're trying to take any and every excuse away from individuals who want to take classes to be able to create an opportunity for you to be able to do so.
I know you mentioned like bridging a gap between like the low income families and stuff. Mm-hmm. would you say that Edgewood was like the best location in Harford County because of that?
So if you're looking at per capita income throughout the county, Edgewood has the largest gap in the per income capita for Harford County as a whole. So you want to meet people where they are and try to find the largest impact zone as well, because Edgewood, as quiet as it's kept, has the largest dense populated zip code within the county. Bel Air actually has two zip codes. So when people think of the most populated area, they think of Bel Air, but that's over two zip codes. But in actuality, Edgewood is the most densely populated. So if you're trying to get the largest, in a sense, bang for your buck, you know, the citizens of Edgewood are more than capable of for us to be able to put that the programming down there.
Earlier, you mentioned that you were powered by the Radcliffe Foundation. Can you explain a little bit more about that as well?
Yes. So the Radcliffe Foundation was very generous in providing $1.5 million in scholarship and funding opportunities. So what that allows us to be able to do is to provide these courses, the tools needed, the certifications, the career navigators, these extra resources that are needed to wrap around and create services for individuals at no cost. You know, so our donor, the Radcliffe Foundation, I can't thank them enough, has been there to fill that gap and provide these opportunities that otherwise may not have been possible.
That's awesome. So I know you mentioned earlier as well that there'd be like a lot of hands-on stuff. So What equipment will people be expecting to be using?
So anybody who tours or takes a class, I mean, we have everything from a CDL simulator. We have a welding simulator, a heavy equipment simulator. We're going to have a mini backhoe excavator. We're going to have an actual forklift. We're going to have different 3D printers, whether it be plastic, whether it be the powder-based 3D printers. We're going to have RFD scanners for the logistics community. We'll have some drone classes. We have a drone class going on there. We have some equipment and tools for the pre-construction trades. You name it, we have a ton of tools and resources down there for people to be able to tour and be able to see.
What type of other courses will it offer? And which one do you really think will be taking off like the most?
Customer service, without a question, because every business needs customer service. For many businesses within a county, you know, there are a lot of front-facing positions, and people need to have those soft skills in order to be successful. Businesses as a whole sometimes have very specialized training in how they want to do things. So we don't want to, you know, invest too much time in that. We want to get people to where they need to go in order to hand them off to businesses so they can be successful. So personally, I think the customer service course will probably be one of the largest to take off. And then from there, I'll probably say logistics and warehouse management, because Harford County as a whole is prime for logistics and warehouse management. We are centered right on Route 40, which can take you all the way from Baltimore City all the way up to Delaware and inward towards Pennsylvania. So, I mean, we are prime for the logistics community to be able to support many of the other trades, the hands-on trades, you know, will be prime to feed in there. So, I mean, it's you can't miss with any of the trades. But, you know, that customer service piece, I think, has the ability to branch off into so many different directions.
You also have a collaboration with the Boys and Girls Club.
Yes.
Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah, so I have a great partner, you know, in Derek DeWitt, who, when I brought the idea to him, he was, you know, elated to be able to present that to his board and to the community, because we want to take a holistic approach. You know, we want to reach the youth where they are, introduce them to trades and things of that nature. You know, for a CDL, for example, right? For many individuals, you know, you can't drive even a vehicle by yourself until the age of 18. But, you know, who's to say that you can't be introduced in the simulator to a CDL, you know, opportunity to see if that's something you would even like. And if you do like it, once you graduate and turn 18, we can then put you into the pilot program that we have through Harford County government that we're building to see if you want to be a transportation driver. So now you have the ability to get a state retirement. I think their retirement is either 20, 25, or 30 years when you start at 18, and then be able to venture off into another career path if you want to once you retire, you know, getting a full state retirement. I mean, the opportunities are endless for individuals in what's being created, but not only for the youth, but for the adults as well. When the adults see that the youth are being supported, they're going to want to buy in as well. And how do we take a holistic approach? You know, we're very thankful for our community partners and different financial institutions who are going to be there to be able to support and provide financial literacy. You know, for some people, the money and income that they're going to be receiving is significantly greater than what they may be previously receiving. So we want to make sure that we have that financial literacy component incorporated in there as well. So, you know, we're trying to take a holistic approach when it comes to our programming.
And seeing success with the Boys and Girls partnership, how you think that that will open up other collaborations for the future?
I mean, not only I think this is going to be a model for Boys and Girls Clubs all across America, but I think it's going to be a model for the state of Maryland, how we can think outside of the box and creating opportunities. You know, typically when you think of educational opportunities, you think of brick and mortar, large institutions instead of pop-up locations to meet people where they are. So I think that this can be a model opportunity to create on-demand training and that it doesn't take a lot of heavy lifting in order to be successful.
Well, I know you have a lot of the county involved already, but how do you plan to get the state and the government involved a little bit more?
Just walking in and working in and talking, communicating with our local officials. I mean, they're great, all the way from our county executive, Barry Glassman, to our county council president, you know, Pat Vincenti, you know, our local delegates, Andre Johnson, and those that directly impact our community, even our state delegates, you know, Marianne Lasanti, Steve Johnson, you know, our state senators, you know, Bob Cassidy, everybody has been truly invested and involved in what it is that we're doing and want to see the success of this program really kick off and take off. So keeping those lines of communication with our local government in order to secure additional funding, you know, we were able, fortunately, to receive $160,000 from Barry Glassman for the CDL simulator. And then our state delegation was able to come up with $260,000 for our pole barn location, additional logistics and warehouse management tools that are needed for us to be successful. So the state and local government is definitely committed into our success.
So what future classes do you have planned? I mean, seeing success in...
The sky's the limit. I mean, we're always open to opportunities. We're looking for additional space to be able to offer actual welding classes and courses. We're looking at trying to find ways that we can offer like pre-apprenticeship courses that feed directly into our apprenticeships with electrical, HVAC. We're being fair and flexible in what is that we need because the market always changes and always shifts. So if we were to say right now what we need, you know, 5 or 10 years down the line, I mean, it would be unfair because the market can completely change.
And how are you going about finding all the teachers for these programs?
So we're currently always looking to recruit and actively build our bench. So working like with Harford County Public Schools, working with industry in order to be able to find possible instructors is something that we're always looking to. So if you're somebody who's in those skilled trades and those industries and you have an interest in giving back and really preparing the future, I would encourage you to reach out to me to have a conversation about what that could look like for you to have a home here at Harford Community College.
And could somebody do part-time on top of the job?
Absolutely. I mean, most of our classes are in the evening from 6 to 8 or 6 to 9 at night. So absolutely somebody could do, you know, part-time instruction.
So other than, like, just having a certification or the work experience, do you think that other skills would be, like, necessary or valuable in being a...
Having a passion and love for educating. I mean, teaching is not for everybody. I'll be the first one to say it. You really have to... love what it is that you're doing and love to have a lasting impact. You know, one of the things that drew me into teaching and my love for it is knowing that you're going to have a legacy. You know, there are going to be little Austin Hills running around and somebody's always going to have something triggered in their mind that it may be something I said or did. And it's like a butterfly effect. You know, the thing about a butterfly is whenever a butterfly flaps its wings, pieces of the element within nature automatically shift forever. So each time an educator does something positive, makes one positive impact in one student's life, it's going to impact and have a butterfly effect, you know, for generations to come.
So in your opinion, where do you see this in 5 years?
In 5 years, I would love to see us at a larger facility, making larger impact, making the world and national news on how we're able to change the income for a area that felt as though that not only they were overlooked, but financially we're finding it very difficult to sustain life and operations. I see a community being built up. I see more businesses coming within the Edgewood community because the community college has, you know, invested in creating educational opportunities to raise the income levels and businesses finding value in that. You know, there's no secret that with businesses, when they do studies and market studies and things of that nature, they're looking at the average income of these households. So we have to do our part to raise the average income levels of these households so that businesses, when they're doing their market research and studies, are more inclined to want to invest in these communities. I mean, we want to have businesses that want to put supermarkets in Edgewood, you know, stores in Edgewood, you know. So I think that us being a community college, being invested in the upskilling of individuals, will have a lasting impact in 5 years.
Is Harford County business changing over time, you think?
Absolutely. I mean, everything is changing over time. I mean, COVID has created opportunities that previously were not there and allowed for businesses to reevaluate how they're running, how they're operating, and how they appreciate their employees and how they want to craft and create new employees as well.
How can somebody find some more information about the center?
They can reach out to myself. Send me an email, auhill@harford.edu. In addition to that, they can visit the Harford website to find out more information about classes, courses, scholarship information. But, you know, feel free to reach out directly to me, and I'd be more than willing to share and sign you up for classes and courses that we'll be offering at Leading Edge.
All right. Is there anything else that you would like to add?
No, I want to thank you. I want to thank, you know, the station for allowing us to share our good news, what it is that we have going on. I want to encourage those who feel as though that they need some skilled training to reach out to us. I think that that's, you know, always a start. You know, we're here to meet you where you are, to get you to where you need to go. So don't be afraid to reach out to us.
Likewise, Dr. Hill, thank you for your time.
No, thank you. Thank you.
Many thanks to Dr. Austin Hill for his time and dedication, and to Mohammed Bangora for a great interview and our theme music. Thanks also to another student, David Vareb, for his work in preparing the questions. Just in case you missed it, here's the contact information for Dr. Hill and the Leading Edge Training Center. Dr. Hill's email is auhill@harford.edu. He's always available to help you get started on workforce training. Also, check out the website, harford.edu, and click on Workforce and Career. Can't miss it. There's an extended version of this interview on our podcast, HCC 360. You can find it wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Vaya Skinner, and HCC 360 will be back next month with another deep dive into amazing opportunities at Harford Community College. Thank you so much for listening.